Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
4-1 over the weekend. Astros go 3-1, or 2-1. The Rockets win 2. 4-1 over the weekend. Stacked weekend here in H-Town. Also have the Texans doing what they're doing. About 2 weeks away from putting the pads on. 5 weeks and change away from opening the season against the Kansas City Chiefs. But there are questions that emerge as the sports pick up. J-Lo, and I need you to answer these questions for me. I need you to 100% answer these questions for me. Let's start with question number one.
Numero uno.
We'll start with the team that's given us the most joy as of late, the Houston Astros. Here's Dusty Baker talking about the state of the Astros bullpen.
Dusty, you feel better about your bullpen several days? I guess a week into the season, you feel better about it?
I don't know. That's a pretty good question. Well, I mean, they're more experienced than they were a week ago. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I guess I do. I'm getting a better idea about them.
They lost their most experienced guy, Roberto Osuna, down hours after that was said. My question is this, John Lopez. Mm-hmm. Astros 5-4. We talk about the youth of this pitching staff, 10 rookies on it. But what is the Astros' biggest problem in your mind?
I don't feel like they're hitting the ball anything like they should be. I get that their run scored per game is pretty high, a little bit skewed.
A lot of that's just big innings. They had the 5-run. They've had a few.
They had a 9-run game.
They've been leaving a lot of guys on.
But
I think it's misleading too.
Yeah, I do. I think part of that is in the clutch. We haven't really seen this team hit in the clutch, and their averages, frankly, are not what the, I think. George Springer has been coming around, but he's still batting 182. Altuve is
bad,
bizarre,
bad.
158,
really bad.
Bregman 211. Even Tucker had that real good game, but he's batting 200. And then you know, in the clutch, runners in scoring position, it's just not happening. Well, as much, not happening.
Yeah, it's not happening. The other thing that there's a couple things that confuse me about the Astros so far. First of all, I agree with you on the hitting. I think those numbers are absolutely misleading. Anyone who watches the Astros, and I watch every pitch,
yeah.
Post-game show after every game right here on Sports Radio 610, there's been times where I've watched a reliever go out there and leave it out there, and I've been like, oh, that was a good outing. And then all of a sudden, Dusty's sending him back out there. That could be because his hands are tied and the situation that he's dealing with. That's number one. Number two, Jose Altuve. Something's not right with Altuve.
No.
Like we've gotten used to what Altuve does. I think he's mentally impacted by all the stuff that's gone on this offseason. And it's I think that Jose Altuve has gotten the bulk of the most unfair criticism. I think he can criticize a lot of people. I think he's gotten the bulk of unfair criticism. And I think the fact that Jose Altuve, who's done everything right, who doesn't like controversy, the fact that Jose Altuve is now one of the most hated guys in baseball, I think it's wearing on him. I think he could eventually get over it, but I think it's weird for Jose Altuve to step on a diamond and know for the first time in his entire life he's not the underdog. He's not one of the most beloved players in baseball. He's absolutely hated. I think it's unfair, and I think it's weighing on him a little bit mentally.
I think, and Saturday night, there was a great – this is when this occurred to me. I think something that we never really considered would happen – is that because they want to prove that they can hit whether or not someone's banging the trash can, I think they're pressing. I think they're so eager and anxious to hit, that they're pressing. I think Altuve is pressing because he's like, I'll show you guys. whether it's conscious or subconscious. And what really did it for me, Landry, is Carlos Correa swung at a pitch with a chance to win the game for the Astros, and I'm not exaggerating, a foot outside of the strike zone on Saturday night. And I went, man, what are you doing? And then I started thinking, you know, I think these guys just want to – they don't want to be a hero per se as much as they want to prove we can hit no matter what, we'll show you. And I think they're pressing.
I think there's something really confusing, too. I agree with what you just said. I don't understand why Dusty Baker likes Abraham Toro so much. I think Abraham Toro is to Dusty Baker as Alfred Blue was to Bill O'Brien. Like, for whatever reason, Toro with the runner on first and second, the winning run at second, he pinch hits Toro for Stubbs. Toro flies out, so the runner doesn't advance. They end up losing that game in extras against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You've seen Stubbs, actually. He started the rally on Saturday with a single, and then yesterday he got the sac fly that ended up being the game winner. I think he might actually even be a better hitter than Toro. He's definitely a better bunter. And then when Michael Brantley got the day off on Saturday, I thought this was weird. And I know Maldonado's cooled off a little bit, the catcher Martin Maldonado, but he pinch hit Brantley in the sixth or seventh inning, and he pinch hit him for Maldonado instead of Toro.
Yeah.
Spillane, Adam Spillane of SportsRadio610.com came on and said that Dusty clearly likes Toro. My question is why? I mean, I know it's not a big deal. It's just kind of it's just interesting how, you know, managers and coaches find
they have
these
crushes
guys
just like everybody else.
Abraham Toro is the Alfred Blue of the Astros, and Dusty Baker is the now, so the answer to the question, though, is you think the hitting is a bigger problem than the bullpen at this point. That could change because they're going to get more wear and tear. But as of right now, despite the numbers, the misleading numbers, you're more concerned about the bats.
I am, because it's let's look at this. You know, the two most the players that have the lowest batting averages and in the clutch hits are the ones that were most implicated in the and most talked about in the cheating scandal: Altuve, Correa, Bregman, and Springer. The two guys that are unflappable and don't care about stuff like that, and were also kind of quiet during the scandal, Yuli Gurriel and Michael Brantley are the ones that are hitting because they don't give a flip.
Now Correa did have a 7-game hit streak before
he did.
Before he did.
No, he's got a good average. I'm saying that based on Saturday night and some of the other things going on. But like the biggest stars, the ones that were most implicated and talked about and vocal are the ones that are just kind of like tight right now.
It's got to be in the back of your mind. So
yeah.
Your biggest concern, the bats. We'll see what happens with the Stros tomorrow. 8:10 first pitch. Versus the D-backs, post-game show right here with yours truly immediately after. Question number two.
Numero dos.
What about the Rockets? Two dubs. Shootout against the Mavs on Friday. Big win yesterday over the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Russell Westbrook talking about their style with our own Adam Spillane of SportsRadio610.com.
With the style and pace that you guys are playing at, do you feel like you've worn these two teams down this weekend?
I think so. I think throughout a game, it's tough to withstand. Honestly, it's just how we play. We're used to playing that way, something that teams are not used to, and I think it goes to our advantage.
Can you feel that as the game is progressing?
I definitely feel it. I'm always looking at other guys and seeing when they're trying to catch their breath. You know, if they're in tune with what's going on, they're definitely wears them down.
All right, a couple W's for the Rockets. What do you make of it? Ron the Show Hughley, who's going to be on with Clint Sterner after us, this was his tweet after the win last night. This is not a good win, but a all caps great win for the Rockets. Harden and Westbrook weren't superheroes missing threes all over the place without Gordon against a championship type team. This is a make you look at the Rockets a little different win. Hashtag salute, hashtag Rockets.
I think there's something to that. I wouldn't go as so far as to say what he said, though. I think the something that's to that is you got to notice. You know, you beat Mavericks and Bucks back-to-back. I don't care if it's preseason or an abbreviated season as they're doing right now. And really an abbreviated season that isn't all that important for the Rockets. I mean, it is, but it's not like a be-all, you know. I think you can read a little bit too much into that. But it is. You got to notice it. It was a very good win. There's no question about that. The reason I would maybe tap the brakes a little bit is you've seen two completely different Rockets teams. You know, defense for them, I said it earlier, is like a mood. Do we feel like playing defense tonight or not? You went from one of the worst defensive games you've ever had against the Mavericks and a really good fortunate play, by the way, at the end of the game that saved the win or saved overtime to really good defense all of a sudden.
I don't understand what Show's saying.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't. I'm interested to hear what he has to say it too, but I thought the Rockets were capable with this wild-ass style of beating anybody. I think they're capable of losing to anybody. So I didn't watch that game last night and feel like, oh, my gosh, this is like, oh, my gosh, we really got to pay attention. I thought it was a good win.
It's something in between that.
I thought it was a good win, but there's not like some sort of revelation that I have about the Rockets after that dub. I think it's good that they avoid the Clippers, but I'm not going to turn on the mic and all of a sudden say, you know what, this team could be a factor because I thought they could. I thought they were.
They're going to be a factor.
They're good. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what pops. It wasn't like some sort of revelation, though. Question number three.
Numero tres.
Deshaun Watson and his thoughts on the organization. He met with the media types on Saturday. We know that Deshaun has said what he's had to say about the Texans organization. We'll hear from Deshaun very shortly on just that very thing. But he also had reservations about going to camp in general. We remember before they reported, he talked about player safety and all that. Appears to be in a good place right now. Here's Deshaun Watson talking about why he was concerned initially before he reported and how he feels now.
At first, it was just, of course, you know, it was a lot of different stories coming out about the protocol and things like that. So we're you know, I feel like safety is and health is always first. You know, we all want to play football. We all want to do the right things. But at the same time, we got to make sure, you know, because we're going home to our families and people that, you know, might have, you know, a health condition or, you know, might, you know, have some type of problem. So, you know, the first couple of days of camp have been great. And what we've seen has been a big change. And, you know, we're going in the right direction, especially for this organization.
Yeah, he feels good.
Yeah, he should feel good. But I think it's so fluid. Some of these questions, they just have to be stock answers. Because who knows? I mean, who knows what this is? I mean, look at baseball. Look at basketball. Baseball more than anybody. And certainly football players and coaches already are testing positive, and they really haven't even started any contact. You just have to be kind of stock answer.
See what happens. See what happens. Baseball, pulling forward, though. They're pulling forward. Astros going to be on tomorrow at 8:10. Here is a request from a loophole, 713-572-4610. Shout out to the loopholes. No matter what you do, if you listen, you are a loophole. We greatly appreciate you. Here is 5303. He has a request, Figgy. In the spirit of the Rockets and Astros going to combine 4-1 over the weekend, he wants to eat W's Jameis Winston style.
How many of you want to eat a W tonight? How many eat a W tonight? Yeah, come in.
There you go.
All right, there it is.
Eat those W's. More power to you. 713-572-4610. If Sports Radio 610 was put into a bubble, how would each person act? We'll do that at 1240.
Who would be the characters? Like the guy going to the strip club, the guy getting fat, the guy getting angry, the guy that everybody thinks is a D-bag.
We'll go to the think tank style of that, which is a dangerous, dangerous place. 713-572-4610. If you want to get down on that, I'm almost scared of what's going on there. Yesterday, I decided to cap off the weekend with a little time with Mike Meltzer.
Oh, you had a party?
Not really a party.
Yeah, you said you were going to have a party. You said you were going to have a party with him.
Well, it wasn't a party. But Mike Meltzer came over. He consumed a few alcoholic beverages. And he said that he was impressed with Jack Easterby's press conference. I don't know why exactly he was impressed with it, but I'll allow Mike Meltzer to explain himself.
You are not being serious right now.
I'm not saying I have him as the GM or VP or whatever the hell he is.
So what made him sound good?
I just thought he said, like, the audio quality was good. He sounded like he knew what he was talking about. He's talking about procedures and stuff.
What do you mean the audio quality?
Like
a Zoom quality?
Yeah, it was good quality. It sounded like it was like an actual microphone. Like, I don't know.
So what has that got to do with him sounding good?
The whole thing, I was listening. I'm like, I'm kind of impressed, actually.
You are not serious right now.
Well, I think you're so angry at the media for asking lousy questions that you're not focusing on the substance of his answers.
Mike Meltzer is the reason televangelists live in mansions. What a sucker. Why did it sound so good? What, the meat on the bones? What he said about COVID and the offensive line and Deshaun Watson? No, it's just the audio quality was really good. Oh, here's my check. Take it. Take my money. He's why televangelists exist, because it was a great delivery. It sounded good. It was energetic. It was inspirational. He said things like blessed and stuff like that. Meltzer's the reason the televangelists live in mansions.
Here is more from Meltzer, and this is where I really just thought he was effing with me. He said Rob Manfred is getting unjustified criticism. Like, he doesn't deserve the criticism he's getting. I don't think Meltzer even knew what he was saying. This is where it just got weird.
I feel like your whole mission today is to just troll me, dude. You defend Manfred for what?
And I'm being serious about that.
No, you're not serious.
No, I'm dead serious. Everyone has an issue with Manfred for, like, the sign stealing. I'm like, you want him to give the perfect punishment. Why are you blaming him for, like, not enforcing? Why are you blaming him for not enforcing sign stealing rules in 2017?
That's not defending him. That's saying he's a dumb.
But I'm saying that, like,
so how is that defending him? You're basically calling him an even bigger dumbass.
Well, but I'm saying that the criticism is misplaced. People want.
Yeah, but you're not defending Manfred when you say that.
Maybe. I mean, I'm just
saying. Maybe. You're not defending him. You're just saying he's an idiot, and you're calling him an idiot for the wrong reason.
Okay. Everyone knew he was never going to take away the World Series. That's never going to happen. He wasn't going to suspend the Flyers because it wasn't a work, and it just wasn't practice. So he did whatever he could do. I don't blame him. Like, I think he ran that investigation. I read the report both of us.
Yeah, but you said you defend Manfred. You're not defending Manfred. You're just saying that.
Now you have these people who are defending his, like, plan, the protocols for these teams. I'm like, what do you want him to do? Like, he's playing. It's not his fault. Like, I'm not going to blame him for this.
Good Lord.
What was he doing to me?
I love Mike so much.
Yes, what was he doing to me? I love Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun Watson loves Will Fuller. Is Will Fuller about to make us forget about DeAndre Hopkins next?
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Will Fuller, is he going to make us forget about DeAndre Hopkins in 2020? Figgy does not think so. There's a lot of loopholes on the text line that don't think so. Here is Deshaun Watson.
What are you trying to say, Figgy?
Talking about the departure of DeAndre Hopkins and the new guys that he has.
It's definitely a little different because his locker was across from me. So, you know, every time, you know, this is my fourth year. So the last 3 years I would come in and, of course, I would have seen him and, you know, chopped it up with him and talked to him about, you know, the offseason and different things. But, you know, that's part of the business, something that the organization and had decided to do. But we got some great guys that came in, veteran guys who played a lot of football coming in and ready to work. You know, we definitely have a good addition and, you know, we try to put all the pieces together and build that chemistry.
Look, I feel like he, you know, he's been answering all these questions just perfectly. I mean, this dude has just got it. He gets it. He knows how to do it. Make people understand where he's coming from, but not take cheap shots. And I think he's right on top of his game right there.
He's on top of it, but you can tell it still bothers him.
Like, of course. And that's his intent. He's not trying to, you know, be blunt about it or kind of come across to some people maybe petty or childish. He's just letting you know, this is what I think, but hey, we're moving forward. We're trying to win games.
Everybody makes mistakes, and organizations are no different. A lot of times you can make a mistake and you can come back from it. If this DeAndre Hopkins trade doesn't look good, like let's say it's very obvious that they made the wrong decision. Let's say it's very obvious that the guys that they're replacing him with can't handle their business. And let's say DeAndre Hopkins goes to Arizona and Arizona emerges as, you know, one of those dark horse type of squads, and Nuke's still doing what Nuke's been doing. How do you recover from this if you're the Texans? Because some things you can recover from. You can recover from the Brock Osweiler move by giving away a second-round pick and then trading up for Deshaun Watson. You can recover from bad moves, like Daryl Morey's made some bad moves, and you can recover by making other moves. How monumental would it be if in 2020 it's obvious right off the top that getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins was the wrong decision by Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby?
Well, it's only the most important thing in Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby's career, more so Bill O'Brien. You don't recover. You and I have talked about this. You don't altogether back me up on this. that this is, or agree with me, I should say, I think this is the most important season of Bill O'Brien's career for that reason, because of what you did, all the things you're doing, taking over, you're in total control, you're making controversial decisions, you've got a franchise quarterback about to get paid, you can't screw this up. It's the most important year of his career.
Here was Sarah Barship of ESPN asking an awesome follow-up question to Deshaun Watson, because we know Deshaun was pissed off that DeAndre Hopkins was traded. I mean, you can read between the lines and you can see that, but he didn't say anything. He didn't criticize the organization. Sarah Barship with a great question to Deshaun about why exactly that was the case.
Deshaun, why was it so important for you not to publicly criticize or really comment on the Hopkins trade and just trust that Bill was doing the right thing for the organization?
Because that's not my pay raise. That's not... I can't control that. You know, I feel the way I feel, but it's not my place and time to be able to, you know, speak on that because I didn't know the whole background story on what exactly happened. You know, that's their business and that's, you know, their lane. I'm not going to step on my lane and get in that. But I know that me and Hop have a great relationship. I know that me and OB have a great relationship, but that's something that I can't play both sides in. I'm just going to sit in the middle and watch it from afar. And, you know, that's their business, and I'm not going to get into it.
What he's saying is, yeah, you kind of tried to paint me in a corner here, and I'm not going to let you. Because that was a really good question from Barshop. You know, why can't you, as the most powerful person not named Bill O'Brien in the building, say something? And he's just like, I'm not going to play that game. I give him a lot of credit. It's not necessarily – something that we want to hear what he's really thinking, you know, but that would not be very productive, especially when you're in the midst of a huge the biggest negotiation of your life before and probably after, because this is the big one. I mean, this is the one you've been dreaming about your whole life.
Like, I don't think that Deshaun Watson being quiet had anything to do with trusting that Bill was doing the right thing. I think it was just,
yes.
it was just, it's not
I got
a
stuff we got to worry about.
I got stuff to handle. There's nothing I can do about it there. I think Deshaun Watson, if you look at what he said on Saturday and what he said to Michael Vick, I think he has reservations as to whether or not O'Brien is doing the right things and if everything is in the best interest of the team, capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M.
Capital M.
There you go, Bill O'Brien. Ding, you advance in the next round of the spelling bee. But a big part of the success of the Texans offense without DeAndre Hopkins could hinge on the health of Will Fuller. We've seen him working out this offseason. The dreads are gone. He looks a lot more toned. Apparently, he's been getting that work in. And Deshaun Watson feels like the sky is the limit for Will Fuller. How good can Will Fuller be, Deshaun?
Will's going to ball out. I mean, Will's going to be one of the best receivers in the league. So, you know, he's came back a lot stronger, a lot faster, and I'm very confident in what he can do. We all are as an organization, as a team. There's no doubt that Will can take that role and do great things with it.
All right, third round Will Fuller fantasy.
There you go.
Got it down. He says he can be one of the best receivers in the league, Will Fuller.
First of all, I hope he's right because that means he's healthy. And secondly, I agree if he's healthy. So, you know, he's stronger, he's faster, which he dropped that nugget on us.
Weird.
How can he get faster? He was pretty lightning fast. So we just got to hope that he's right, and more than anything, hope that he's healthy.
The thing about Will Fuller that I think nobody's talking about, and this isn't just a 2020 thing, this is an after 2020 thing, is, man, like if he does ball out, let's say Will Fuller does become one of the best receivers in the league. First of all, how are you going to pay him? What are you going to pay Will Fuller? Because you've already taken a stance that you didn't want to pay Nuke Hopkins. Second of all, the salary cap is going to drop. And you have a lot of dead money in 2020 invested in guys like Eric Murray, Whitney Merciless, Kyahmi Fairbairn even has $4 million. You set up the cap and you're in a weird spot there. Oh, by the way, Brandon Cooks is set to make $16 million. It's not guaranteed. Do you franchise tag Will Fuller? Do you pay Will Fuller? Does that mean that you restructure with Brandon Cooks? If Will Fuller balls out, they're going to have a decision to make. And oh, by the way, Zach Cunningham is also going to be an unrestricted free agent. So do you have to decide between Will Fuller and Zach Cunningham when it comes to franchise tagging? And oh, by the way, part two, Laremy Tunsil's contract is going to start kicking in pretty soon, and Deshaun's is. They might have to make a tough decision if Will Fuller does look like Deshaun Watson thinks he can look.
By the way, part three, the cap is going down. No one could have imagined this was going
to
happen.
I feel like they planned for it to go up based on what they did.
I was going to say. No one could imagine that this was going to happen. But you and I were talking about, especially me, I've been mentioning it for a while. There's a bill, there's a debt to be paid down the road. Well, now that debt got a little tougher to pay because of the cap going down. You're 100% right. The answer to that has to be Will Fuller. You know, I know Zach Cunningham. I mean, come on. He's probably the best all-around defender on the defense. But I think it's got to be Will Fuller when you consider where your franchise is.
Man, I mean, and then what do you do with Brandon Cooks? You're not going to pay Will Fuller franchise tag money and then pay Brandon Cooks $16 million. You gave up a second-round pick for him. Like, are you going to restructure? Is there going to be a situation there with Brandon Cooks? Because none of his money is guaranteed. It's a lot of moving parts, but the bottom line is we're 5 weeks and change away from the season, so I'll play some checkers before I play chess. But that chessboard, it's loaded up for Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans, and the wide receiver position is going to be interesting, not just in 2020, but moving forward. What if all of Sports Radio 610, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig, Tyler, Clint Sterner, and Ron the Show Hughley were locked in a bubble? What would happen? 713-572-4610. Think tank about Houston sports and bubble talk. My gosh, I can't believe I'm setting myself up for this next.
But I'm going to have to cuss and discuss this thing with him.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
2 out of 3 for the Stros over the weekend. 2-0 for the Rockets. Texans back to business. Deshaun Watson ready to go. What if Sports Radio 610 was locked in a bubble? 713-572-4610. Little think tank here. Your thoughts on everything going on in Houston sports. Feel free to sound off and feel free to weigh in on the topic that emerged on Payne and Pendergast. Something that John Lopez put together, and he's rubbing his hands together. I don't know how I feel about this.
I think there are some possibilities here. I did a little cross there with Sean and Seth. And Sean mentioned something about the bubble. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, about some issues. There have been issues, you know, in the bubble life for the NBA. Guys getting COVID. Guys leaving, going to a strip club. Guys getting fat. Guys, it just goes on and on and on, right? And so that I started thinking, who would those characters, who's going to have the crazy hair? You know, who's going to just, you know, quit in the middle? Like, I've had enough, like Cespedes did. Who's going to be violating the mask requests and orders and all that? So let me ask you that. Like, given the circumstances that have happened in the bubble and some of the crazy things that have happened, who would say it's no big deal and refuse to wear a mask? Was that Dwight Howard? Yeah, who would do that? You know, all the things that have actually happened in the bubble, if our staff here on the air lived in a bubble, first of all, could you imagine living in a bubble for a couple of months with nothing but us? I mean, we love each other. I love hanging out with you guys. But nothing but us? Who would be the most irritating guy all of a sudden? Who would you want to fight? You know, actual things that have happened in the bubble. I've got a couple of thoughts.
Okay. 713-572-4610 if you got thoughts.
Without question, the guys that would, and maybe you'll disagree, the guys that would adjust just fine, I think, are me and Sean Pendergast. I mean, I can... They got good fishing down in the bubble. I'm talking about the Orlando bubble now.
Okay.
They got really good. Now, it's not saltwater fishing. It's freshwater fishing, but I could make do. I'd just chill. I'd cook. You know, I like to cook.
I don't think you can cook.
I'd go down to the kitchen and cook. Help them cook. I think most likely to go to a strip club. I mean, do I need to say it, Figgy? Figgy.
Probably so. For the wings, for the wings.
For the wings, yeah.
For the wings.
For the wings.
That's it.
5303 on the text line saying Show would refuse to wear the mask.
Show?
5303 saying.
So he'd be Dwight Howard.
They're saying. That's what they're saying. I got a text on the bat phone. Someone says Show would be the one FaceTiming his wife the whole time. That's the most accurate text that we've had on this show in the last 6 weeks. 100% Show would be FaceTiming his wife. Show would be the guy. I went to Subway the other day. Someone was FaceTiming in the Subway line.
Get out of here.
Just chatting. Like, as they were ordering their food. Show would be the one FaceTiming in the cafeteria line.
B. Scott would be the one that, you know, we all, at the end of the day, we all hang out by the pool, socially distanced, having a bunch of beer. B. Scott would be the one that, like, yeah, man, I'll be down there in 5 minutes. And he's there like 2.5 hours later because he had just one more thing to do. What would Landry be? Landry would
be chilling, dude. Be chilling.
Landry would leave for food. Guaranteed. After a week. What? After a week,
he'd be complaining about the food.
Yeah, yeah, he'd be like, "Well, this isn't,
what?
You know, this isn't such and such pizza. I'm going, dude. I'm going.
Come on,
come on, go with me." He never wants to take the fall alone either. He's like, "Go with me, John. Go, come on, J Lo. Let's go.
Come
I'm like,
on.
Well, you want pizza? You go.
Come on.
You
man.
Want that steak? Like, if there were a B&B Butchers in Orlando, and they had that, what's that sandwich you like?
Club sandwich.
The club sandwich from B&B is right there in Orlando. And they're giving us, you know, some good sandwiches. Obviously, there's good food there.
Come on, man.
Landry would be like, "Man, I'm dying for that. I'm dying for that B&B club sandwich, man. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. Let's do it. You with me?"
Now, I would try to drag someone. If I did try to find trouble.
Always.
I would always take someone with
always.
Me.
Always.
No, I will admit that, but complain about no food. I'm
you don't complain
sure
about food. You always talk about that.
What?
You give CeCe's compliments like they're freaking, you know, Anthony's.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. I look at food very good. 3303 says LL would be stoned. I already said he would definitely leave for Chick-fil-A. If they don't have Chick-fil-A, then we got problems.
Well, see what I mean? That's my point. That is my point right there.
5039, Landry would be the guy you want to fight for sure. Maybe.
Let's be Maybe. Honest here now. Oh, you'd be one of the guys. Yeah,
Landry Locker done lost his damn mind.
So. You'd probably be one so. Of the guys that people would want to fight.
Probably so. That's fair.
Who would all of a sudden, like, just your skin would crawl? Who would get really irritating? You know, if you had to spend 2 months with someone in a bubble, from our staff.
This is hard to answer.
No, we're being honest here, man. We're being real.
Here we go, baby.
Oh.
The boss?
Oh.
Man.
Oh, my gosh. Look.
Oh, God. I'm sitting this one out. My mic is off.
Oh, yeah.
My mic is off.
Oh, yeah.
My mic is off.
Come on. Go with me. Go with me. Yeah, but when I take a stand, you're like, I don't know that man. I'll just say this. You're not wrong, Figgy.
I ain't say nothing. I hit the wrong button.
You don't know what you did. Hit the wrong button. No, because he's a hustler, you know? He goes and he's always doing a million things at one time. And at one point, I'd be just like, chill, dude. Who would fight? I know you'd be the one that people want to fight. Who would fight?
It's got to be Seth with somebody. It's got to be Seth with somebody.
I see. I think, all due respect, Seth, don't fight me. I think Seth would get fat.
Oh, he would be in his room.
Is Seth this
would,
real?
Seth would be in his room, like, the most.
Yeah.
It's got to be
basic.
It's got to be Seth and maybe me.
You'd get fat?
No. You're talking about who would get fat. You're saying who would fight. I would say Seth. I would say I would get on Seth's nerves.
Oh, both of you would fight. You'd probably fight each other.
Well, he would kick my ass. But Seth would get mad at me for sure. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
100,000%. Who would get fat? Show and Seth, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, are we being honest?
Yeah, I would say Seth and Show. They would be eating the most.
Yeah.
Clint would be working out like 4 times a day. It would be like, I don't want to call it fake hustle.
Oh, but wait a minute.
But when Clint gets around the bros, Clint's going to try to show out. There's going to be like 6 rack your weight tweets. I think Clint would just go in like all out workout Terminator mode and he'd come out looking jacked.
He would. However, I want to change my previous answer. It's not Here We Go, Baby that would end up being the most irritating.
Me and Coors Light and jump off in this pool.
That would get old. I love that man dearly. The first show he was ever on this station was with me. But I think enough Chiefs after a while, right? I mean,
we're going to find y'all.
Right? If you had to hear Chief every day, multiple times a day, for 2 months straight, with no, you know, exit plan, so to speak, that might get a little old.
I think it's an Arkansas education right there, baby.
I think Tyler, the producer of the afternoon show, Tyler M, I think he would emerge as the surprising drunk. I think people would be anticipating that maybe it's going to be Seth or me as like the lush of the group. I think Tyler would emerge as like the under the radar Sports Radio 610 boozer.
I could see that. I could absolutely see that. No offense, Tyler. No offense at all.
Someone said on the text line, what would happen in the Sports Radio 610 bubble? Someone says Seth and Clint would definitely fight over some kind of competitive game because Clint talks a lot of smack. 6240, Landry would definitely be the one everyone wants to fight. Then after the fight, Landry would say something stupid and everyone would be laughing and friends again. I think you got me figured out.
I do have to say, these are all stretches. Because we got a good group here, man. We really do. I mean, previously, it might have gotten a little old real fast.
If you have a bunch of bad dates on Bumble, you'll probably start turning to Instagram to find a hookup.
Gosh, could you imagine being months? In a bubble with Hammond?
2 months?
Good.
Welcome into the show. Whether you're here for the first time, whether you're here every time, it is great to be with you.
Would he be the person that has worked at Sports Radio 610 the last half decade that you at least want to be in a bubble with?
Hey, it's Rick Kamla.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not.
How many fights would Paul Gallant have gotten in?
I don't know, man. Paul's kind of fun to go out of town with.
I know. I'm talking.
Shut up. It's Gallant and I. Stay put.
I've had a blast with this station everywhere we've gone. I'm talking about 2 months in a bubble, though, dude.
The problem with Paul is that I don't know if his high school just didn't like talk smack to each other or what, but Gallant, for some reason, whenever you start ragging on each other, he gets really defensive, almost like he's never been in an athletic locker room where they actually talk crap to you.
That's a good point.
That's all that, like, in my high school locker room, all we're doing is talking crap to each other. Right. It's basically like a roast. Like, it's a roast on everybody. Everybody's talking bad. You're talking bad about each other's moms. You're talking bad about each other's girls. You're talking bad about everything. Everything's a roast. And I feel like everybody's like that. Like, that's just kind of how it is. When you start trying to roast Gallant a little bit, it gets a little bit awkward.
It gets personal.
It gets a little awkward.
Who would sneak some in?
Do you think they have weed for the players there?
No, I'm not talking about weed.
Some Scrange?
Women? Yeah.
Probably me. Or I would just hit it off with one of the workers.
Oh yeah, that's a good move.
Even if she wasn't a dime, I wouldn't hold her hand at the couple skate.
Yeah,
but she can come in the room and see what's popping.
They have to have weed at the NBA bubble.
No, they do.
They have to.
No, I'm not. I mean, like, they have to. I mean, first of all, they don't test for it. Second of all, you know the guy's got the Marahuchi. I guarantee you they got Dodo out there at the Disney bubble. 100% got that green.
The weed.
They got that lettuce. They got that lettuce for sure.
Now, who present and past would be the most likely to bring some in?
Hey, did you guys hear?
I'll plead the fifth on that one. I am not sure about that. Who's the person you would most want to smoke with and least want to smoke with?
Of the current?
If you lit it up. Yeah, if you lit it up, the most and the least.
I think Seth. Because, man, he's so the most.
When they weren't awful, they were actually pretty good.
Oh, could you imagine?
He's so smart.
Yeah, he would start getting
those,
so deep.
All those thoughts would just be getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And the thing is, he'd be like right. I would have to like record it because like we might be able to cure cancer, you know, if we just remembered what he said because he's so smart. Least,
My name is Mark Ryan.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Maybe not. That's above Hammond, by the way. That's above Rick Kamla. Straight up. Straight up. That is 100% straight up. 713-572-4610.
Hey, guys. Teddy J here.
That might be one.
Least or most?
I was going to say least, but now you got me thinking.
Most.
Yeah?
Have you ever heard Ted Johnson talk about the movie Dirty Grandpa?
Yes.
You would think that it's Shawshank.
I know.
And it wasn't a one-time thing. Like, yeah. If you hear him talk about that Zac Efron De Niro movie, oh, this is the best, bro. This is the best you've ever seen, De Niro. I'm telling you, it's a brilliant movie. I don't know how they wrote this. It's like the most brilliant thing you've ever seen, bro. I'm telling you. You've got to see Dirty Grandpa. Have you seen it? Oh, come on, bro. You haven't seen Dirty Grandpa? Come on, man. I'm telling you. Brilliant. De Niro's best performance by far. There's got to be some Marahucci involved on that, the way he talks about Dirty Grandpa.
Oh, man.
Someone says, least want to smoke with Meltzer. I can tell you right now, that's not true. That's not true. I can promise you that is definitely not true. That's the In the Loop bubble experience. 713-572-4610.
Oh,
McLean.
What would he look like?
He would just be making the rounds, just walking around.
No, I'm talking.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Would he gain weight or lose weight? He's on a kick right now. He might lose more weight.
He's dedicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would lose weight. McLean in a bubble, though, he would be in heaven.
Landry Locker is a genius.
McLean would love this situation. He would make the most of it.
Yeah.
He would love it. And also, he would have his own room. McLean would be in heaven.
Yeah.
He'd have his own space.
He'd have a bigger TV.
Yeah. Dude, McLean would be awesome in a bubble. God, that'd be fun. Mm-hmm. McLean joining us tomorrow at 10:40. You selling Dusty stock right now, J-Lo. A lot of people low on Dusty Baker 9 games into the year. You buying or selling?
I am not selling Dusty Baker stock. I think he's really good for this team on a number of levels. I am enlightened. Maybe that's the best way I can put it. All those things you hear about, you know, and you had it just like I did, and I've followed Dusty for, heck, I've watched him as a player, you know, and I've heard things about, you know, just watch, there's going to come some close games, some tight situations where you're just not going to get what he's thinking, and I think we're all enlightened that way now. There are some. I just think he trusts people too much. He trusts his players too much.
It's getting a lot of criticism, and the thing is, it's not just like, you know, overreaction type stuff. It's stuff that we were warned about when they hired Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
Straight up, man, I'm fine with Dusty. You know who I wanted from the very beginning? I wanted Jeff Banister, and I think Jeff Banister would have been able to handle this team perfectly. I'm fine with Dusty. I think he's the right man for the job in this situation, but I wanted Jeff Banister, and there are some things that Dusty has done that kind of make you scratch the head. The handling of the bullpen, the love fest with Toro, not bunting in extra innings, which, by the way, Carlos Correa hit the sac fly yesterday. It was basically it was pretty much worked out like a bunt. You saw Madden try to bunt. It's been interesting, but again, though, if we're being fair to Dusty, my God, has he been tested? Three extra inning games out of nine. Down goes Verlander, down goes Osuna, all the rookies, the cheating scandal, Ryan Pressly not being ready to go. Diaz gets hurt. In fairness to Dusty, it's a 9-game sample size. It's pretty much the equivalent of a month into a season, though, so you do have to take it into account when you're evaluating it.
I mean, you're not wrong, but some of it, and I don't know what percentage, but some percentage of it is kind of Dusty's own doing. You know, how he's handled Osuna in particular. That was a rush back from, I mean, it was obvious. He rushed him back, and then his elbow went. I mean, the manager makes that call, you know. And somebody texted earlier about, don't you think Brent Strom has a say in whether, you know, like the Greinke situation, he comes in or out? He does, and he has Dusty's ear. However, I thought a telltale sign for me on Dusty Baker, how he trusts his players too much, is that it was Dusty that went out on the first trip for Greinke, not Brent Strom. Usually it's the pitching coach. What's going on? We're looking at it. We got a guy up. Let me know.
Yeah, when the skip comes out, he's taking the ball.
But he didn't. And that was a telltale sign to me that he's just trusting his guy too much.
Yeah, when the skip comes out, he's taking the ball. Off day for the Strohs. We'll see what happens. There's been some unsung heroes. I want to shout out somebody that nobody's talking about, Stubbs. Stubbs, man. I know they ended up losing
nobody's
Saturday.
Talking about guy.
Stubbs gets that two-out single. Straw comes in, steals second, then Springer hits the dinger. They could have easily won that. And then yesterday, Stubbs, sack fly. I think whenever the rosters, I don't know if they're going to decrease the roster size. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think Garneau might be the one that they get rid of because I think Stubbs has kind of proven himself as a guy that's pretty valuable. He can play three positions. Stubbs deserves a lot of credit. One of the unsung heroes, and I don't even know if it's unsung at this point, but Blake Taylor, they found a lefty. They found a lethal lefty, and he is the ultimate professional. Huge fan of Blake Taylor.
I'm not so sure you try him out at least here and there in closing situations.
Also, Josh James, I'm sorry, buddy. He's got to be a reliever at this point. I don't know if you let Belak start. I don't know if Urquidy's the guy.
Yeah.
Josh James, maybe just soaking in the atmosphere instead of starting out on the mound. Maybe that'll be a way that he finds himself. But I don't think he needs to be starting games. 11 walks in six innings ain't going to cut it. I don't care if he's pitching awesome.
As much as he's optimistic, it's almost like blind optimism, right? Yeah, I had, what do you have, six walks,
and he said he only allowed one hit.
I may have had six walks, but I only gave up one hit.
By the way, the ghost of Albert Pujols still alive.
Ooh.
Two homers away from Willie Mays.
That is a
pretty
huge
good
number.
Career.
Let's see if I can remember Willie's. I used to know Willie's number. 665?
I'll take your word for it.
665?
Two more than Pujols.
See if it's all up there, Landry.
Two more than Pujols is all I know in regards to Willie Mays. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader.
660.
Sports Radio 610. Yeah, see, you've lost it. You're losing a step. The Patriots almost had another opt-out that would have led to even more. We'll tell you who that is. And a team in the Texans division has a quarterback with a COVID. Around the league next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.